The season's begun.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Here we are with the first of many earnings reports. The wholesale retailer, yes, there is such a thing, Costco, reported a profit in its fiscal fourth quarter, albeit smaller than expected. Also this morning, we'll hear from Family Dollar and Monsanto, and later today, the Aluminum Company of America, Alcoa, will be the first Dow component to report. Stocks overseas making a little money today. Markets are up in Europe, barely. In Asia, the Hang Seng was up by more than 2%. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P 500 and NASDAQ rose way more than 1%, and the Dow added 131 points to close at 97.31. Wireless telephone companies are opening up their networks to internet-based phone services. That means iPhone users will have access to long-distance services such as Skype. Separate announcements yesterday by AT&T and Verizon that they'll reverse their policies and allow rivals access to the networks aren't just a coincidence. Marketplace's John Dimsdale is with us from Washington. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So why is this happening now?
Well, the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, Julius Genachowski, delivers the opening speech of a major conference for the wireless telephone industry this morning. And he's made it clear that he wants the owners of communications networks to be open to competitors. He's expected to step up the pressure on wireless phone companies and internet service providers to allow their customers to use these alternative services. AT&T and Verizon seem to be trying to head off government requirements by voluntarily making these cheaper communications products available.
And it sounds, John, like the FCC is forcing the mobile phone networks to let competitors use those same networks to take away some of their customers.
You're right. And that's a problem not only for the communications industry, but a dilemma for regulators. The owners of these networks say that as customers use the alternatives, the pipes that carry all the communications will become clogged, and the gatekeepers of these pipes have no incentive to build and maintain more, since they don't earn any profits from the customers who are defecting to the alternative services. So it's another case where technology is outpacing the regulatory structure, and regulators are scrambling to adapt.
All right. Marketplace is John Dimsdale from Washington. John, thanks.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Google's announced a deal to match up its web-based energy monitoring system with a so-called smart meter that's going to track electricity usage down to the minute. From the Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
So here's my electric bill. And wow, is it high. Problem is, all it says is how much power I used last month total. No detail about what hogged the most energy. But if I log on to Google's free power meter program and plunk down $200 for the Energy Detective Smart Meter,
that will allow you to actually see, as you turn things on and off in real time, what your usage pattern for the day has been.
Tom Sly is with Google.org, Google's nonprofit arm. He says these tools can isolate a single appliance's footprint.
To know that your cable box is using 20 watts constantly, or your dishwasher is really, really inefficient.
Google figured out how to visualize the internet, so perhaps they can help people map and visualize how they use electricity.
Energy consultant Ron Pernick says Google has the right credentials to move into the energy monitoring market, but
Google's not alone. There are a handful of companies and new ones emerging every day that are looking to get into this sector,
including major software companies and big utilities developing their own smart meter technology. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. 1,600 universities and colleges teach and manage 10 million students with software from SunGard Higher Education. More information at sungard.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
In Pyongyang today, the Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao ended a high-profile visit. He met with Kim Jong-il and signed a few trade deals. For China, the relationship is more than just geopolitics. There's money to be made. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports from the key border city of Dandong, the main gateway between China and the North.
Just about every morning, dozens of semi-trucks load up with goods going across the Yalu River into North Korea. Chinese truck driver Yuan Keyo.
We carry sheets of steel, pipes, everyday household items, and food like flour and fruit. They don't have any apples there.
China provides some 80% of North Korea's consumer goods, items not banned under UN sanctions. But in a nearby warehouse, one item looks awfully out of place, a treadmill. North Korea's emerging consumer class wants to stay trim, as well as gab in cell phones and gamble in casinos. Word is there's even decent pepperoni pizza in Pyongyang. Selig Harrison at the Center for International Policy in Washington has gone in 11 times.
We have the impression of North Korea as a starving place, but actually the place is economically very much alive as far as the cities and big towns are concerned.
That may be why single malt scotch sells well at the duty-free shop on the border. Chinese saleswoman Wang Yiling shows off a leather wallet, handy for North Korean traders with thick wads of cash.
And here this bag is Benetton from Italy. They also like Dunhill. It's world famous. Don't even try to give them knockoffs. They know when the logo is fake.
As luxury goods move into North Korea, so does Chinese investment in mines to extract iron ore and factories to take advantage of super low labor costs. Exporter Yu Yang says opportunities abound, but doing business with North Koreans can be rough.
Their country is also very corrupt, worse than China. Sometimes we send things over by rail, but they don't send the empty rail cars back.
Two things you don't hear much about in this city, UN sanctions and nuclear bombs. For all the drama over missile testing, traders say here, commerce is king. Last year, China's trade with North Korea hit a record $2.8 billion, even as the rest of the world was isolating Pyongyang. In Dandong, northeastern China, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, Neiman Marcus is out with its Christmas book. Think typical ultra-chic with a touch of recession. His and hers, private plane and flying lessons, $250,000. But the high-end retailer notes nearly half of the catalog gifts cost less than $250. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.